planted, yet not growing. The question arises, why is a seed so often planted, but fails to attain unto the full image of God? Is it because of faulty seed that spiritual maturity is not achieved? No, not at all. It is not the seed, but the preparation of the ground, the nurturing, and the environment that will determine how the seed will develop. When Jesus gave the parable of the sower, he explained that the various kinds of ground that received the seed made all the difference in the growth and the fruit of that seed. Hard, unprepared ground gave no chance for the seed to sprout. Rocky ground, from which the stones were not removed, gave no room for the seed to grow roots and prosper. The ground infested with weeds and thistles choked out the growth, and although the seed grew, it could not come to fruition. Only in ground well plowed and prepared could the seed prosper and bring forth fruit. The sower sowed the whole field and chose not to skip any parcel of his field because of the types of ground that lay within that field. When Jesus interpreted the parable to his disciples, he said that the field was the world. The sower sowed so bountifully that not a patch, not a corner of his field was left without seed. He purposed to give every part of his field a chance to spring into life and become fruitful, even though he knew there was rocky, thorny, and trodden down patches in his field that would fail to produce fruit to the sower. The master sower of seed in the earth has given to every species to produce an abundance of seed, far beyond the amount necessary to assure the continuance of future generations. There is an immense harvest of eggs in the world, most of which are consumed for food and never reach the splendor of the bird that laid them. Nevertheless, there is such an abundant supply that there will always remain enough eggs to hatch and grow to maturity and still feed the egg consumer. However, if an egg is not properly incubated, regardless of how full of life it might be, it will never produce another bird. And if a seed is not impregnated with life, it cannot reproduce another life. The second how. Gabriel gave Mary another answer to the question, how shall this thing be? He said that after the seed was planted, there must be a continual nurturing of that holy seed. There must be her own natural nurturing in her womb, but that would not be sufficient to cause that holy seed to prosper. Therefore, there would come to her the abiding, overshadowing power of the highest. An abiding presence of God would cover her every day. That holy seed would be nurtured with a divine infusion of life power from the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That holy presence would continually encompass and bathe the babe from the day of its conception. Mary also would be feeding daily of the bread of life and drinking living water from the fountains of God as she lived under that shadow. David speaks of that in Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Paul exhorted the Ephesian church to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He put it in the present tense, now, always now, at all times, be filled with the Spirit. It was not enough to have been filled once upon a time, not enough to have once had an experience sometime in the long ago. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a believer and fills him with his presence, he brings into the womb of the regenerated human heart that holy seed of life. However, as glorious as that experience might be, the seed is only a seed sown. It is not fruit ready for harvest. Ephesians 5, verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. More and more into light. Proverbs 4:18 reads, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Solomon had a certain picture in his mind when he wrote this proverb. He was thinking of the many times he had bid farewell to his visitors at the gate of the city. Just as the dawn was beginning to break, the traveler departed. As he watched them depart, he saw their silhouettes slowly take form against the dawning sky. As they advanced eastward into the distance, the light of day also advanced upon them, until the full strength of daylight illuminated them, and he could still see them, tiny specks in the far away, going towards the rising sun. This is a picture of the normal life God intended for the development of the divine seed, that it would grow more and more into the full light of perfection. Just as Mary's pregnancy became more and more advanced and visible, so also that holy seed would grow more and more into the ever-increasing light of eternal revelation of God and His Christ. However, there are many who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and that seed has been implanted in their hearts, but theirs is not a picture of growing more and more into light. Just the opposite appears. Instead of advancing more and more into light, their silhouette shrinks in the early morning penumbra until it becomes lost in the shadow. Many believers appear to walk more and more into the grayness of eventide rather than progress more and more into the light of full day. They can look back in memory to some glorious moments in life, but then a sad, slow declining into confusion and defeat. Many admit they no longer enter into the presence of God. They speak of those glorious moments as a thing of the past, as something wonderful that happened all too long ago. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Then why is it that some hearts, once so full of the wonder that their faces shone with the glory and beauty of Jesus, become dry and empty, with only haunting memories of what had been? In some way, they have abandoned the abiding in the secret place of the Most High, that wondrous, overshadowing, brooding, incubating power has lifted as a disturbed bird from its nest. Some offense or disobedience has risen like a wall between the bride and her beloved. Dwellers in the secret place. Psalm 91 is filled with beautiful promises. Nevertheless, many children of God have been frustrated by the apparent failure of those promises to become realities in their life. That is because they have not understood that those promises are not given indiscriminately, but only to a certain category of people. Those promises, like so many other promises, are conditional and are only operative when the conditions are met. The first verse of that psalm explicitly defines those who have a rightful claim upon those wonderful promises. Those who dwell in the secret place and abide under the Almighty's shadow. Those that dwell in this secret place will find His promises truly wonderful and true because they meet the condition the promises require, and that makes those promises valid. Psalm 91 and verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells in the mainstream of worldly pursuit and lives according to the prevalent world's philosophies and abides by the social religious values of the masses and worships at the shrine of idols of the carnal life and adopts the moral codes of the unbeliever will not be able to claim those lovely promises when he finds himself in a time of great need. The sower's century. Since the beginning of this Pentecostal century, God has poured out His Spirit upon countless numbers of believers. As days become months and years, many of those Spirit-filled believers remain stagnated in their experience. Instead of nurturing that holy seed by dwelling in the secret place and abiding under the shadow, they carelessly dwelt in the open highways of this world. Eagerly they have pursued the aspirations and ambitions of this world and relied on a church meeting from time to time to feed and nurture that divine life within them. They are like the children of Israel who did not continue in faith across Jordan into the promised land. Filled with unbelief in the power of their Jehovah, they turned back to become as nomads in the wilderness. Only a few of those that left Egypt followed the pathway eastward on and on until the perfect day, making every day of their journey through life become brighter than the day before. Today we live in another era of that ever-growing church. It is a far different generation from the days of the apostles and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. In the first years of the 20th century, God again poured out the Holy Spirit upon His church. It was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that spread ever wider and until it reached all over the world. This century became a Holy Spirit century and a new era in church history. It became a copy of the days of the apostles and a powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit, but a copy greatly enlarged and multiplied until it fills all the earth. In the middle of this century, a major change began to take place in the church. In the space of but a few years, most of the main leaders who still remained of that Pentecostal outpouring were taken off the scene of action. They were called home to be with their Lord forever. No matter their age, God took them off the field of battle. Then there arose new Holy Spirit leadership in the world. It was as if God was saying, "It is time to move on over Jordan with the Joshua people. Time to move over and possess the land." Again, the Spirit of God from on high was poured out upon His church. Mighty promises and revelations of what God intended to produce on earth were given by the mouth of gifted prophets and ministers. A strong call was sent out to His bride to renew her relationship with her heavenly bridegroom. God spoke to much of His church about the mature sons He was producing and that the time was not far off when He would manifest Himself in those sons. However, many anointed men and women who were called to lead His church onto higher ground became fearful of the cost of their calling. Many turned aside and abandoned the highways to the high callings of God in Christ. They looked for lower ways, easier paths, lesser challenges. They were keen to work and operate in His gifts and His powers, but feared to abide in the overshadowing presence of the Almighty. They considered earthly success to be the criterion of spiritual prosperity. They sought no longer to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, overshadowed for the proper nurturing of that holy seed. God does not change. Malachi 3 and verse 6. "I am the Lord. I change not." Hebrews 13:8. "Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever." Numbers 23:19. "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or has He spoken, and shall He not make it good?" God will never be frustrated and will never deviate from His determined purposes. He changes not His mind because of a change of circumstances, or because a time of fulfillment is long, or because interference arises from man or devils. He always fulfills His will and purposes. The Almighty Creator is going to have a people formed in His image. There will be those in every generation who hear the call of God to hide themselves away in Him. They will not trust in themselves, but will know that their calling is first of all to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Every born-again believer who has received the infilling of the Holy Ghost with that holy seed within them is called to that high calling of God. However, they are not all going to attain unto that high calling unless they learn to abide under that overshadowing presence. The Holy Spirit came to abide, to dwell with His people every day, all day, forever. The Holy Spirit came to abide with His church forever, not give it a brief, wonderful visit. He did not intend to lift them up into a mountaintop experience for a few days and then depart, and let them descend into the valley of emptiness and stagnation the rest of their lives. Paul determined in his life that he would not be one of those who shrivel up in their spiritual life and become like a withered fruit on a tree. He was one of those who heard the call from on high and purposed to press on in life towards that high place. Paul refused to be satisfied with what men call success by showing his gifts and high anointings to the world. He saw something far above the apostolic anointing, and he longed to attain unto it. He wanted to be formed into the image of his Creator. Paul knew the bridal relationship in his abounding love for Christ, but he also knew that only sons bear the image of their father. Paul the Apostle knew that the high calling of God would be the eternally decreed purpose of the creation of man, namely, to become sons made in his image. Therefore, he wrote about the day to come when that work would be finalized, the day when there would be a manifestation of those sons and the groaning of all creation that waited for that great day of fulfillment. And that groaning would then be over. A bride, however much she loves or tries, can never bear the image of her husband. Nevertheless, the bride of Christ, and she alone, can bring forth fruit of her own being, a son who will bear the image of his father and her husband, Jesus Christ. The bride of Christ, out of the abiding intimacy of her love with Jesus, bears and nurtures that holy seed within her, and that seed grows so mightily that it takes over her whole being, and she herself becomes transformed into a son bearing his image. And yet more wonderful, even though she finally becomes a son herself, she never loses her precious bridal relationship with Christ, because a new relationship gained does not take away a former one. All the beauty and glory and majesty a son of the Most High may attain, he will not in any way take away the tender intimacies, the overwhelming flow of love divine, and the pure loveliness of the bridal relationship with her beloved Christ. Paul wrote of this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.